Hello and welcome to the latest episode in our podcast series, Procurement Matters. So if you're new to us, my name is Mun Lee and I am part of the supply chain and procurement practice here in Baringa. If you're returning, having enjoyed our last episode quite so much, welcome again. We're thrilled that you've come back for more. We've actually upped our game. We're in the Baringa studio today. I feel like a chat show host. You can't see us, but it's brilliant. So today we are exploring procurement's role in the biggest challenge our generation is facing, and that's climate emergency. I think we've all heard the stark statistics, but it's worth pausing and reflecting on the mammoth task ahead of us. Humanity must halve its emissions in the next decade to give our planet a fighting chance of staying below 1.5 degrees, the threshold to avoid the most dangerous impacts of climate change. And actually, in the time it's taken for us to get our heads around this, time's moved on again. Climate change is one of the many environmental and social issues that we're facing, from plastic pollution and biodiversity loss to modern slavery. So for us procurement geeks, what does that mean for us? Well, I think whether it's aspirational or a reality, procurement is uniquely placed to help drive this change. We are at the heart of an organisation's consumption of goods and services. From buying less to reducing waste, driving standards, and actually blazing the trail for innovation, sustainability provides us an additional and really quite compelling sense of purpose for the function, and actually a new lens through which we can start to understand and work with our partners and suppliers. So as always, I'm not going to do this on my own. It would be thoroughly dull for all of us, let's face it, if I do. I am joined by two esteemed guests who are far better placed to talk about this than I am. Stuart Williams is the director in our sustainability practice and has a depth of knowledge I can only ever aspire to. And I'm also joined by someone who I've known for over a decade. So between us, we have quite the war stories in procurement that we could tell perhaps another day. Andrew Newnham, who is a brilliant and experienced CPO and currently director of group procurement at Marks & Spencer's. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks, Mun Lee. I'm Stuart Williams. I'm a director at Baringa and I lead our work in sustainable procurement and supply chain carbon reduction, which means that I like to work with procurement teams and buyers and category managers, helping them figure out what are the social impacts and environmental impacts of the products and services that they buy and what can they do to reduce them in a way that is commercially deliverable and realistic.
So a procurement geek at heart, really.
Procurement and a nature geek.
Andrew.
Hi, Mun Lee. Like you said, we've known each other for 10 years, so quite a bit of experience. I'm currently at M&S, been there 3 years. We've been through a bit of a journey, and currently the key part of our procurement strategy is all about alternative thinking. And it's a little bit like Stuart said, you know, when we talk about alternative thinking, we talk about procurement, we are in a position where we can influence the business. And I don't mean just by running RFPs, competition, getting great deals. I mean by looking at things differently. Whether you're talking about business process, whether you're talking about improving efficiency, cost transformation, or whether you're talking about ESG, I think that we're, as a team at M&S, we are uniquely placed to just make a difference to the business. And that's one of the things I think I wouldn't want to tell you we are anywhere but at the start of a pretty long journey, but actually, like all businesses, we're going to have to accelerate into it, right? It's really important. It's one of those things that we are going to, it's become a massive focus, and that's only going to increase as we go through the next couple of years, I think.
And great that it's a massive focus, right? Because that gives us an opportunity in a window that is a small one, but a really valuable one at that. So I guess my first question is to you, Andrew, just to pick up on your point. I agree. In theory, the link between sustainability and procurement is actually a fairly obvious one. But in reality, in your view, why is the function so critical to ensuring that M&S or any other organisation meets its aspiration and goals in this area?
Yes, it's obvious in a lot of ways because we deal with a lot of suppliers who have a massive impact on our emissions as a business. But I think the key part of why procurement is important in this area is we are the part of the business that can bring the whole business together. At M&S, we have accountable businesses for both clothing and home and foods, and for the area I look after, which is goods not for resale. But they don't always work together. You know, the targets aren't always clear. We aren't always as close to each other as possible. We aren't always working in synergy as much as possible. And as a procurement team, I think we've got the opportunity to really grasp the nettle. We've got the opportunity to own this and make a difference. Like I said, I look after goods not for resale, so not food and not clothing and home. That matters because when you're in a retailer, food and clothing and home, you know, that's where the obvious places to make a difference on sustainability are. You know, soya, polyester, cotton, they really have high profile. But it's a bit like other areas of the business. When you talk about GNFR, it's important. You know, transport, logistics, property, all these areas have a massive potential to impact emissions. And I think as a procurement team, all procurement teams actually, you're kind of uniquely centrally placed to be able to, firstly, and I think this is the key parts here, is like measurement, optics, clear objectives, aligning across the business in a group way so that, you know, you're bringing teams together. And actually, if you look at the way, quite often the way businesses operate, they're very focused on, especially in the retailer, delivery, cost, time to market. And actually, you know, we're the ones that can look a bit more holistically as a business and say, how can we change carbon emissions? How do we bring that kind of lens to the way we manage suppliers, the way we choose suppliers, the way we measure suppliers, and the way we influence, actually the way we influence industry on a larger scale?
Yeah, it feels like a really mammoth task. I mean, help Andrew out here, Stuart. What are the practical steps that procurement can take to start on this, what Andrew's quite rightly said, a really long journey?
So I think the first step is around education. So it's building the knowledge base of your buyers and your contract managers so they understand sustainability and how that's actually linked with the products and services that they're sourcing. So everyone's got some background knowledge because, you know, you can't get away from climate change and the other social and environmental issues in the media. So everyone's got a personal connection to it, but it's giving them the education so they understand how that relates to their day job and what they're buying. I think that it's also making sure that their objectives are aligned so they can understand, actually, there's a policy in place that gives me a mandate that I'm not just here around cost and innovation and delivery, but I've got a mandate that's genuinely part of my job now to try and improve the performance from a sustainability perspective of the products and services that I buy. And then I think the final piece of the picture is actually the first, a good practical step is to actually look at the category strategies that you have. If you've got a really good foundation of procurement, it's much easier to actually start to integrate sustainability. So as you're doing your category strategies, actually understand, okay, if I now look at sort of legislation and innovation and costs through a sustainability lens, that gives me a wider perspective on the market, but also it lets me understand what are the social and environmental impacts of the products and what are the different levers I can do to reduce it. And then as I go out to tender, I can start to address that through the specifications and the requirements of what I'm asking suppliers to provide. I can reflect it in the evaluation criteria that I use to award business and actually build it into the terms and conditions of the contracts and the scorecards that I manage their performance by. So those are the sort of basic building blocks that I see.
I agree with that. I agree with what Stuart says there. I think one of the things that's really important, and I think the companies and businesses that do this really well, you build it into the contract, you build it into real deliverables, and you make it real. You know, one of the things I'm really keen as a team that we develop is something that's real, we're trying to achieve, and we measure, we get real data, and it doesn't just become slideware. And I think that there's always a danger when you're talking about ESG that lots of people are talking about lots of things, but actually how much of a difference are they really making? And I think that you start with education, you start with data, and you start with measurement, but then you've really quickly got to get onto, well, how are we making the difference? How are we really pushing our suppliers, our key suppliers, to change the way they do things? And then what are we doing about that at the back end of it, actually? And I think that's the most important, you know, that's the most important bit that you need to get to quickly, actually. And not be in a position where you put lots of policies, lots of plans in place, great PowerPoint decks, and you can go to conferences with great PowerPoint decks, but if you really aren't making a difference, And if you really aren't, and if suppliers don't see you're serious about it, they're not going to be incentivized to change things. And I think that's kind of, I think that's the rub of it.
Yeah, ultimately, at the end of the process, you've got to end up buying something that is more sustainable than you would have done otherwise, or working with your suppliers so they're actually reducing their carbon footprint, you know, reducing their biodiversity impact, raising the standards of their workforce. So there's a real world impact. That's really what counts. I think that can be quite a powerful motivator for buyers as well. And it's just kind of part of, you know, I think buyers expanding their influence across an organization in the same way as you want to have an impact on your business strategy as a buyer, you want to have an impact on your sustainability footprint as well.
Carbon needs to be seen as a currency, just like money. Because once you're measuring it as that, look, we're all the same. We all meet our objectives. I mean, that's what everybody does at work. And, you know, once you can be clear about what objectives are, you're measuring it, and it's almost seen as a currency, something that M&S and all other businesses are serious about reducing. That's when you'll make a real difference. You'll make a real difference because your buyers and your category managers will focus on it, and the businesses you deal with will see that they need to focus on it. Actually, you know, I don't think this actually ends up being you've got to move on from certain suppliers. I think you collect data, you get the optics so good that all your key suppliers will become on the journey with you. They'll align their targets with your targets, and actually, it becomes a supplier management piece actually about growing and reducing emissions together.
So a little slice of reality, I guess, for me, just thinking, as obviously, Andrew, you know, I've been in procurement for way too long. And my cynical hat says you'll get in pockets of M&S and any other organisation, but it costs more to do the right thing. And actually, I want procurement to just do what I expect it to do, and that's to save money. So Stuart, is that true? Does it cost more? And if it does, what can Andrew do to overcome that?
So I think in some areas, it's really well aligned with cost reduction. And in other areas, there is a cost premium with going for a more sustainable product. And I think overall, you want to try and balance that out. So the classic examples are, for example, logistics. Anything you can do to improve the efficiency of your supply chain, reduce the amount of miles that trucks have to travel, make sure that they're filled rather than half empty, improve their fuel efficiency. All of those things drive cost savings as well as driving carbon reductions. And it's very similar in IT with the migration now to cloud-based services. You know, you can go from having to have, hundreds of servers in your own data center with a huge energy draw to actually having them all virtualized in a cloud in a much more energy efficient environment. It saves you money and it reduces the carbon footprint. So there are those areas where the more sustainable option saves you money, and there are others where it's more expensive. So a great example would be looking at something like if you're looking at sustainable seafood or sometimes higher welfare animal products, they carry a price premium, and then it's more of a value engineering question. So perhaps you have a smaller portion of meat or a smaller portion of seafood, and you use that to offset the higher costs.
Yeah, far be it from me to agree with the consultant, but...
but you're going to,
sometimes,
right?
Sometimes you've got to go against the grain. I think I agree with that. And sometimes it will just be actually the two things will align. And where they don't, you come back to my point about supplier management, it's partly our job to make them align, partly our job to manage suppliers to get them to align and get them to see there are cost reduction opportunities as well as carbon emission reduction opportunities. But also, I think where we'll end up getting, I think we're a sophisticated company, and we've done this a little bit of work on this at M&S, we're in our infancy, will end up is having a budget for carbon emissions. And I think that businesses and accountable businesses within organizations will then need, and this will be something that you have to work on, but you'll end up having to manage that carbon emission budget just like you manage your cash budget. And actually, you're playing off decisions you make where sometimes you'll pay more because you need to also protect your carbon emissions budget. I think once you get to that stage, then you can really start incentivizing individuals and individual teams and individual businesses within organizations to really push the boundaries. That's when you'll get innovation. Then suppliers will see it really matters, and that you'll get innovation within businesses to change their processes to really make a difference.
And also, I think economics are changing fast and technology is changing fast. So energy prices, we all know, have, you know, rocketed in recent years. But also the cost of low carbon technologies are dropping rapidly. So recently, the UK government's removed the grant for electric cars, which, you know, some have said is a bad thing, but others have said actually that's what should happen to when these low carbon technologies become mainstream. You can start to remove the grants and subsidies for them, because, you know, ultimately it ends up cheaper to generate renewable power than fossil generation. So technology is advancing and economics are changing, and that makes the business case easier as well.
So I can definitely see the link between, it really resonates with me that you have, in the future, procurement should have like this triple line saving, right? Like cost reduction, carbon reduction and risk reduction. And actually there's increasingly talk about that kind of triple line saving. In the immediate term, M&S are facing cost pressures, economic headwinds. And I think in the immediate future, procurement have a job to do. So how will you make sure that sustainability matters to your team? And I'm sure it does, but also anyone who's a buyer in M&S, and that could be, I imagine, quite a large cohort.
I think you make it matter. I think, firstly, it does matter. You know, most people want to do the right thing and they see the seriousness of the situation. I think most people are almost chomping at the bit to get going on this. And I think actually quite a lot of people would be frustrated that we don't do more as a business, and it's not easy to measure. But I think it's always about transparency and it's always about measurement. Once you make it clear and you make it part of your decision-making process, the whole emissions piece with all of your suppliers, then that's where, you're going for sign off at a senior level and you're talking very clearly about emission reduction plans and what's going to happen in the future. And you're measuring people on that, but you can't just be measuring procurement on that, because, you know, I'm a great believer in procurement objectives are just actually business objectives. If we've got this ESG objective that nobody else shares, then nothing changes, right? But if we are trying to meet, we're helping the businesses meet their emissions targets, and this is how we measure it, and they're buying into that, I actually think it becomes one, and it already is, right? M&S has been doing Plan A, we've been doing ESG, it's a massive part of our agenda, I think, 2008. But this is like, it's almost the next push. And I think it's always, whatever you try and change is about optics and about measurement and about setting the right objectives. You can't get around that for anything. But they've always got to be shared business objectives. The procurement objectives have got to be aligned with the business and they've got to buy into them.
So, Stuart, any last pieces of nuggets of advice to start Andrew on this journey?
I've mentioned the training. I think updating your category strategies so that you actually embed sustainability, because that becomes a really useful guide for everyone, that as they go out to tender or the next quarterly business reviews coming up with a supplier, you've then got a reference to go back to. I think the other thing, just as a practical piece of advice as well, the great thing about sustainability is there's so much public domain information about it. So one of the first things you can do as a buyer is actually just Google the sustainability or the CSR report of your supplier, their CDP reports, and look at what they're doing. You can learn a lot about their business and a lot about sustainability. And then also do the same about your competitors and see what they're doing and what they're asking their suppliers for. That can be a great way to get up the learning curve and then basically start building it into your tenders and into your supplier meetings. It should be on the agenda every time.
Brilliant. I mean, look, we could sit here all day, right, and talk about this. Unfortunately, we don't have all day. But as our listeners know, I felt like a Radio 1 DJ then. Well, maybe not Radio 1 because I'm obviously not down with the kids, maybe Radio 2. We like to end on a more personal note. And I was thinking about this while I was enjoying the Queen's Jubilee celebrations. So I thought I'd ask both of you where you were for previous milestones in our Good Majesty's life. And I'll be honest, I can go back as far as the Silver Jubilee, but I'm going to be kind. I'm going to pretend to be kind and say that can't be true for you two. So so where were you for Queen Victoria's? No, I'm joking. Stuart, where were you for the Diamond Jubilee in 2012?
In 2012, I think that was the one street party I've ever been to in my life. So I was at a street party making polite conversation with my neighbours in Southeast London.
Andrew?
Similarly, actually. I remember, I think it was raining. I remember, it wasn't like this year. It was when it was a lovely sunny day, I remember it was a street party and not many people turned up because it was raining and we hastily put some gazebos up to try and huddle under. That's what I seem to remember it being like that. But it is also possible my memory's not great.
I think I was praying for rain.
Fair enough. I hope you don't live near your neighbours now and you've actually moved since then. But anyway, so that's it from us. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to our brilliant guests, Stuart and Andrew. I've really enjoyed our chat and hanging out. We hope you found it interesting and thought-provoking. We will have an equally topical subject next time. But if you have something in particular you want to hear about, please do get in touch and we can see what we can do. But for now, thanks for tuning in and please come and join us next time.